Thank you, Ryan. It's good to be here, and I want to thank Pastor Dean for giving me the opportunity to speak. I know I've been doing it for a long time, but it's been 18 months since I actually stood before a group of people and spoke. So let's hope it's like riding a bicycle. You never forget. But you know, I'm at that age where I often go into a room or to the fridge and stand there and say, what am I here for? But you know, a lot of people ask that question about life. What am I here for? What is my purpose? Is there a purpose in my life? Does God have a plan and a purpose for me? And this morning I want to talk about God's plan or purpose for us. Because God has a plan and he has a purpose for us. It's a particular purpose for each of us. The scripture says that God has made us, and he has made us because he knows us, and he makes us according to who we are. A psalm that probably many of you are familiar with, Psalm 139, says in verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You were born in response to a determined plan of God. You're not an accident. You didn't just happen. But you were born with a purpose, an individual purpose. Your God hasn't made us all the same. Now, as I look out this morning, I know that. You're all different. All different in looks, in height, and you're all different in your personality, in your character, in your nature. You're all different according to your strengths and your weaknesses, according to your faith, how far you believe God, and if you're still deciding whether you do believe in God. Your God's plan for us is customized. It's not one size fits all. We are all different. Some years ago, I was in India, and one of the ladies who was hosting us said to me, I'll take you shopping to buy some saris for your wife and your daughter. Or daughters, I should say. And so we went off, and it's easy buying saris because they're all of one length. So you don't have to worry about size. But I also wanted to get Pauline a salwar kameez, which is the trousers and the long blouse. And so I said to the salesperson, you know, my wife is about my height. Well, she's actually the same height as me. She's a bit taller than the normal Indian woman. And he said to me, no worries, sir. One size fits all. Okay. I said, well, I'll take your largest size. Yeah, one size fits all. Well, guess what? I got home and Pauline did wear it after a little bit of dressmaking, because one size doesn't fit all. You know, in the Bible, we read about David going out to fight Goliath. And David was only young. And King Saul said to him, "Here's my armor. Put my armor on." But of course, Saul's armor, full-grown man, muscular, because in those days to be king you had to be good-looking and you had to be muscular. And of course, Saul's armor didn't fit David, because David wasn't Saul. And so David, in his wisdom, threw away the armor and went out and did what God wanted him to do. So God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. And it's particular to who you are. You know, when we become followers of Jesus, we don't give away our personality. God simply takes our personality that he has given to us and he enhances it so that we might be part of the fulfillment of his plan and his purpose in our lives. You know, God's plan is a good plan because God plans for our good. But sometimes we're not sure we like God's plan. Sometimes we're not aware of God's plan. And sometimes we think that God's plan is against us. You know, many people think, God is just harsh. He's just mean. You know, I'm not going to say I'll accept what God has because he might send me somewhere that I don't want to go, somewhere that is unpleasant. Well, God can do that. On a cold July day in Kalgoorlie in 1974, so before Pauline and I were there ministering, we were there on a trip, before we went into ministry, Pauline stood in Kingsbury Park, which was next to the Lord Forrest swimming pool, which, as a bit of trivia, is the oldest Olympic-sized swimming pool in Western Australia. And she stood there, freezing cold, and said to me, "Don't you ever get a job in a place like this." Well, needless to say, 4 years later, we were in Kalgoorlie. And yeah, we were there for 40 years. We left after first 6 years. We left. We drove down the highway, Grayson Highway to Perth, on our way to Melbourne, and we said, "We're gone, never to come back to Kalgoorlie." And 3 years later, we were back in Kalgoorlie, and we were there until April last year. God had a plan for us. It wasn't a mean plan. He didn't put us in Kalgoorlie as punishment. And, you know, a lot of people go to Kalgoorlie and think God is punishing them. You know, he's sending them out into the wilderness, out into the desert. You know, there's nothing in Kalgoorlie, and they can't wait to get back. But it was a good plan. We flourished. We saw God do things beyond our imagination. And Pauline will often say when telling our story that we accepted Kalgoorlie because it was a small church. It was out in the middle of nowhere, and so we would be safe, and we would just be a nice little couple, and I would preach a couple of times on Sunday and do a midweek meeting, and she'd go to the ladies' meetings, and that would be it. That was the limit of our vision and plan of God. But God had a different idea. But it was all dependent on whether we were prepared to follow his plan. Now, I'm not saying we followed it perfectly. I'm not saying there weren't times when we backtracked, where there were times when we thought God had got it wrong. There were times when we used to say to God, "Why?" Where we lived in in Kalgoorlie, we lived in the manse, which is the church house, and down the back was a large mulberry tree. And I wore a path around that mulberry tree because I used to go down there and have a complain and a whinge to God. It didn't affect the mulberries. Mind you, the mulberries affected me. So it wasn't, we didn't think it was always a perfect plan. But it was a plan that was good for us. And God took our strengths, even the strengths we didn't know that we had. God took our faith from its limitations and stretched it beyond what we would have imagined could happen. It was a good plan. It wasn't, it's a perfect plan, but because we were involved, it didn't always work out perfectly. And sometimes we were on a side road and God had to say, hey, come on back into the path. Remember, you know, Holy Spirit is really good at telling you, remember. Remember what I have promised. Remember what I have said. Remember what I have given you. Remember what I've done. And as you remember, then you see the hand of God and you're able to work through that plan and that purpose. And so it's a good plan. Sometimes we're not certain about it, but it's a plan. For God, as the Psalm says, knows what is to come. He doesn't always tell us in advance. You know, I've had people say to me, you know, I really like to know what's going to happen at the end. Well, there's a simple answer that I used to give to them. At the end, if Jesus hasn't come before, you'll die. But it's what you do before that counts. And it's a step by step with God. Someone once said, apparently on the desk of the United States president in the Oval Office, there's a red phone, it's the hot phone, that they would like one of those. So that they would hear from God and he would lay it all out for them. You know, we want to know step by, we want to know everything before it happens. But God doesn't say that. God says, I've got the plan, it's up here. And I will allow it to happen. But it comes back to us. Are we prepared to trust God with our lives? Are we prepared to trust that God knows best for us? That God wants the best for us because he knows us. Eugene Peterson, in his version, in the Message of this psalm, talks about it. God knowing us inside out. And for many of us, we only know each other outside. But God knows us inside out. And he will purpose your life and give you a plan. Now, the plan isn't necessarily a blueprint. It's a plan. It's a progression. It's knowing where we're going in life and what God wants for us to do. So it's customized to us. It's a good plan, even though it might not seem so at the time. And it's a plan that's guaranteed. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, it says, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. What God calls you to do, he will empower you to do it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do it on your own. You know, I learned that early on, that I couldn't make it happen on my own. I needed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes our inadequacies. He takes our inabilities and he enhances them and enables us to do what we do. When I was at school, I was nominated for what is now called a school council. You know, back then you were prefects and those sorts of things. And my classmates voted, and apparently, according to the teacher, and I don't know why the teacher told me this, but they voted for me to be a prefect. But the staff didn't think I had what it took to be a prefect. Now, that wasn't really helpful for me at 11 years of age to know that they didn't have any confidence in me. And so I lived with that for a long time, of a sense of inadequacy, until God took hold of me. And God showed me what He thought of me, not what I thought of me, not what the staff at that school thought of me, but God knew, and He took my weaknesses and my inadequacies. You know, the thought of getting up and talking to this many people Sunday by Sunday was way beyond what I could imagine as a teenager. And even when I started out, you know, we went to Kalgoorlie, there were about 50 people there, so that was a good safe ground. And a lot of them were waiting to leave Kalgoorlie, so it didn't matter if I offended them or upset them, because you know, they didn't want to be there. But most of them stayed, well, for a time. And Kalgoorlie has a very good turnover. So if you don't like it there, eventually you will be able to leave. But God purposes for us. It says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He who began the work in you will bring it to completion. And so His plan isn't half-hearted. He's not going to stop working in your life. He's going to bring it through to completion. And then over in the next chapter, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. So God has a good purpose for you. God has a good plan for you. But again, it's all dependent on how you respond, how you react. So God will work with your personality because you are an individual. In many ways, it would have been easier if God didn't do that. If He made us all the same, we all thought the same, we all reacted the same, we're all obedient exactly as He wants us to be. You know, in other words, if we were robots, programmed. But God didn't want fellowship with robots. He wanted fellowship with individual people, people who think, people who feel, people who understand, people who He can react with and who will react with Him. And so that's why He begins a work in you. He begins a work in you at salvation. I mean, that's His ultimate purpose, is that you come into a relationship with Him through His Son, so that He might enjoy that fellowship. You know, one of the verses I love out of Genesis, and Pastor Dean touched on it at Imagine, is where it says that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. That's fellowship. You know, it gives me goosebumps when I think about God walking with us in the cool of the, after a day like yesterday, the cool of the evening. That's what God wanted. And so his purpose for you is to know him. His purpose for you is to grow in him. And his purpose for you is to serve him. Be that icon. Be that presence. Be that person. Can I have the worship team come up, please? So how do we discover God's plan if he doesn't give us a red phone to talk to him or doesn't send us an email with it outlined from the year of your birth to, you know, I know Pastor Dean drew all that last week, and we can work that out, but God doesn't do that. So how do we discover it? Well, the best way to discover God's plan is to spend time with the plan maker. To spend time with God. To do what in many ways is the obvious. To read his word. To spend time with him. To pray. To walk in the cool of the evening with him. There's some questions that you could ask yourself to help determine the plan. What are my spiritual gifts? What am I passionate about? What are my natural abilities? Because remember, God gave us those natural abilities. Sometimes people get super spiritual and think it's only at my spiritual talents. But God gave us our natural abilities. What is my personality type? Because God takes our personality type and he fashions that plan around our personality. What are the spiritual markers in my life? And what do others see in me? Take notice of what people say about you, the good things people say about you. But sometimes, even the negative things. You know, I remember my wife saying to me, and one of my co-pastors said to me some years ago, long time ago, you're like an angry bear. And I thought, no, I'm not. I'm loving and kind and gentle. Until the Holy Spirit said to me, no, you've got some issues in that area. And so we did some walking and talking with each other to resolve it. So sometimes what we consider a negative comment might be part of the dealing of the process. So answering these questions may help us, may not. You might decide, well, I don't care about God's plan. I'm just going to enjoy my life. That's your privilege. But know that God has a plan for you, that it's a specific plan for you. You don't have to be like everybody else. You know, when I, as a young preacher, I used to look at some of the more experienced ones and I think, oh, until God said to me, no, Larry, you be yourself. And he said it to me this last week as I was preparing, because I was thinking, you know, Dean does this and Dean, and he said, you're not Dean, so don't try and be like him. There's no way I could be like him. One, I don't have enough hair to have in a top knot. And two, I'm not as young as he is. But be yourself. Be who God has made you. Know that his plan is customized, his plan is good, and his plan is guaranteed. He will see you through to the end. To the end. When I retired, people said to me, oh, so you're no longer a pastor. And I said, no, I just no longer have a church to pastor. And this past year, God has continually said to me, I have not finished with you yet. I have not finished with you yet. And Sunday by Sunday, whoever is up here, God's saying to me, I have not finished with you yet. Because his plan is guaranteed. And I, for one, I'm saying to God, okay, that's why I'm here today. Now, I was quite comfortable just sitting out there and letting everybody else do all the work. But I want to see God's plan through to the end, because it's a guaranteed plan. And so it comes to us what we decide to do in the fulfillment of God's plan. We will be in partnership with you to see it come to pass. You know, as we come into a time of communion, it's good to remember that God has a customized plan, a good plan, and a guaranteed plan for you. And part of that plan was for Jesus to come onto the earth. And part of the purpose that Jesus came was to fulfill the plan of God for us to come back into relationship with Him. And He did that by dying on the cross. And this morning, as you take the cracker and the juice, we're reminded of God's plan for us. And we're reminded of the purpose of Jesus to bring us back into relationship with Him. And so as you eat the cracker and drink the juice, remember that God planned this and purposed it for our well-being, so that we might love Him and serve Him, that we might reflect His goodness and His love. So when you're ready, you come and partake. If you want prayer, I notice the kneeling mats are here for those of us who can't get down on the floor. You're welcome to come, and there. Maybe God has challenged you this morning. Maybe you've given up on following God's plan for your life. Maybe God is saying to you, simply, I love you as you are. I love you for who you are, because I have made you. God bless you.